For those that don't know it, it's on the screen, but for those that have got it memorized, you'll know it by heart. Let's read it today. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building today. It is good that we can be together. It's good that we can acknowledge our Lord and Savior and to thank Him for another day that God has brought us some beautiful sunshine, and we're enjoying the sunshine outside. I know this week it has been a little gloomy. This week we know we've had some cold weather. I think some said we may have had some snow flurries in some areas Wednesday, I believe. But we thank God for the sunshine. And we know that rain does come, as I call liquid sunshine. But it's good that we can enjoy the sunshine when it does come out. And you know what? We've got the sun with us all the time, because if we're in Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God is living in our hearts and our lives. So He is shining all the time. And so we thank God for that as well. If you have your Bibles today, I know they're in the pew. It's going to be projected on the screen. But if you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, beginning with the 6th verse. 2 Timothy 1 and 6. And I want us to look here as time will permit, and I'm going to give you just a minute to get to those scriptures. The title of my message today is this: When God Strikes the Match. When God strikes the match. And as we get into this today, I felt like that this was something that we need to be encouraged with. We need to be reminded again as believers, and we need to be reminded of what God is still wanting to do in your heart and in your life. If you're still alive today, as you are today, and if your heart is still beating and blood is still pumping in your body, God is not through with you yet. There are some that feels like, I want to go ahead and die and give up. But I want you to know today, there's no need to say, I want to quit, I want to give up. I remember back years ago, I had a lady here at the church. She was well up in age, and I would go visit her to a nursing home. And I would go every other Sunday, and I would see her. Sister Moselle Windham was her name. And I would go visit her, and she felt like she got in the nursing home too early, that her kids sent her off into the nursing home too soon. And she said, Pastor, she says, I'm still able to be at my house. I'm still able to get around, but I just don't understand why my kids put me in this nursing home. And I said, Sister Moselle, she said, every time she saw me, she says, I just want to die. Why can't God just take me on home? And I said, Sister Moselle, you're not going to go anywhere until God gets through with you. I said, have you ever thought that God has still got you alive in this nursing home to share the good news with somebody else? Have you ever thought that somebody needs a word of encouragement, and you may be the last one to give the word of encouragement to somebody in that nursing home? And she looked at me and she said, you know, I've never thought about it like that. She said, but I'm just so tired. She said, I just wish God would take me. And I said, well, Sister Moselle, I said, you know, there's going to be a time where people may not die a death. They may not go 6 foot under. They may go in the rapture. I said, the Bible talks about that the rapture's got to take place. Everybody's not going to go in the ground. You may live to see the rapture. And unfortunately, she didn't get to live to see the rapture. But folks, I want you to understand today, you may feel like to give up, you may feel like that you're wanting to leave this life, but listen, it is not your time, your assignment is not up until God says it's up. And while you're still alive and while you're still moving, there is a plan, there is a purpose. You say, well, Pastor, how can I have the plan and the purpose? Look how old I am, look at what I'm dealing with, look at what I'm going through. God still has a plan. He still is in charge. He is still in control. And He knows exactly what you and I are going through, because there's no surprise with God. God is the God that brought you in the world. He's the same God that's going to take you out of the world. And He's going to be with you until the day you give your last breath. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I want you to know today, when God strikes the match in your life, He is wanting you to move forward. Why? He is equipping you. He is giving you everything that you need to do the work that God has called you and I to do. Let's look at this passage here right quick. As the Apostle Paul writes here in 2 Timothy 1 and 6, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. I want you to know today, someone once said, there are many things in life that will catch your eye, but only a few will catch your heart. Pursue those. When we talk about the passion, we aren't talking about a brand of a perfume or about the steamy nature of its explicit television shows or novels. We're talking about a burning drive that God places within us to change the world. We're talking about the motivation we feel to go about His work. When passion burns inside of us, we focus on life more easily and effectively. And in 2 Timothy, Paul helps us, as we will look at this today, identifying the four action steps that identifies and intensifies passion. My first point today is this: we must do action one. We must reach up to God. God is your source. Mom and dad can help out. Friends and family can help out. Some can give you some advice. But the ultimate one that's going to give you the advice that you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must reach up to God. A lot of times when we don't know what to do, we don't know which end is up, we don't know what's going on to the left or to the right, the only thing we can do is look up. Why? Because He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He who begins a good work in you is faithful to complete it to the very end. When God starts something in your life, He doesn't stop. He will see it through. He will bring you through. He will carry you through. If you're going through something, understand you're not there forever. God's going to bring you in it, and He's going to bring you out of it. Why? Because that's the God that we serve, that He knows exactly what you and I are going through today. In 2 Timothy 1 and 1, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy. In other words, Jesus, as Paul says it here in the Word of God, Paul says to Timothy, a beloved son, a grace of mercy, a peace from God the Father, Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. I want you to know Paul became the slave before the Lord Jesus Christ. He became the servant before Jesus Christ. Paul was named Saul, which he was the killer in the persecution of the church at one time. He was killing them out. He was trying to destroy. But if you remember the story, how that Paul was struck on the road to Damascus and God got his attention and says, why are you going against the pricks? Why are you doing these things, Paul? And Paul was struck with blindness and God brought him down and God showed him that he needed to do what God had called him to do. In other words, God had struck a match to his life and he began not to be the killer of the world, but he became the God that he needed to have been as a savior unto the Lord as he began to do the work that God called him to do. Everyone wants to be connected to something, but many people today are plugging their lives into dead wall sockets. Paul understood that the spiritual life within him was given to him by God and God alone. God brought him to a point where that God wanted him to do a work for him. It was not about Paul. I want you to know today, it's not about me. It's not about you. But it's about what Jesus Christ does in your life and in my life, day in and day out. That when God has called us, because if He has saved us, we are now ambassadors unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to do what Jesus Christ has commanded us to do until the day that we die. I want you to know today, Paul understood this as he wanted Timothy and you and me to share even in what Christ has instructed us. Paul was an apostle. He was sent of Jesus according to the will of God, according to the promise of life that he had found in Christ Jesus. He had experienced Paul had experienced God's grace. He experienced mercy. He experienced peace. Could you imagine all the people that he killed before God got a hold of his heart? God could have excommunicated him. God could have killed him. God could have got rid of him. But no, God saw good in Paul after he did what he did. That's the mercy. That's the grace. That's the love of God. And that same God that loved him is the same God that loves you and I. He sees the very best. And when he strikes the match in our hearts and life, we are to run like we've never run before. We are to serve God and do what He's asked us to do. All those graces were like lumps of coal fueling the passion for his life and for the work that Paul would do. Not only do we reach up to God, but action is our step two, is to reach inside yourself. It is for us to reach inside of our lives. To 2 Timothy 1:5 says, and when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Paul reminded Timothy, I have seen your grandmother. I have seen your mother. and I have seen how they've raised you. I have seen what they have done. And Paul says, Timothy, I want you to continue to run the race. I want you to continue to fight the good fight of faith. In other words, he says, I want you as a young man to continue to grow and mature and reach out to others that you may share the good news and that you may reach others with what God has done in your heart and your life. I've been very blessed because I came from godly parents. Everybody can't say that, but I have. Through my mother, through my father, I really do believe the reason why I'm where I'm at today is through my mother's prayers. My mother was on her knees begging God when I was playing the prodigal son and sowing the wild oaks. She still begged God for me, and I do believe that that's why I'm here today is through a praying mother. Amen. Helen Keller said this, life is either a daring adventure or nothing. Yet I'm reminded that Timothy had been raised in a Christian home. His mother, his grandmother, had laid a solid foundation in his life, a sincere faith. If we're going to be passionate in life, we must decide to stop being the victim and become the victorious winner. God has ordained us to be. We must trust Him with confidence, enter in faith in His plans for us. When we allow the seeds of God's Word to germinate and grow within us, when we walk by daily faith, and therefore we will have all the resources we need. Paul, the Apostle Paul says, with simply reminding us that Christ, we have the necessary foundation to be what God has called us to be. You may say, Pastor, what's the foundation? We have His Word. We have the Word of God. When we meditate upon the Word, when we read God's Word, that Word that we read becomes fuel for the soul. It becomes that fuel that we need to help us day in and day out. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be vigilant to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. The Apostle Paul clearly let Timothy know, continue to fight, contend for the faith, continue to fight the faith, continue to serve the Lord, continue to be ready in season, out of season, be prepared to give a word to somebody. Why? Because God has struck the match in our hearts and in our lives. And it's left up to us whether we want the flame to go. It's left up to us whether we want to cover the flame up. But God has a flame. He has struck the match for you and I as we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've made that profession of faith. God has struck the match because He has said, stir up the gifts that are within you. There are some that are not letting the gifts be stirred, that you're letting the gifts become dormant. It is time for us to shake ourselves. It's time for us to do research. It's time for us to do inventory. It's time for us to examine ourselves, to see if we're in the faith, to know that the gifts of God has been given to us, and those gifts are to be stirred up so that we can continue to fight the good fight of faith and do the work that Christ has called us to do. Action 3, step 3, is to reach down to each other. Reach down to each other. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. When is the last time that you have stirred the gift in your life? The gift that God has given you. Everybody has talents. Everybody has abilities. Everybody has things that God has given you. I've said it and will say it again. There'll be people that you'll be able to reach that I'll never be able to reach. But then there'll be people that I'll be able to reach that you'll never be able to reach. We're all in this thing together, and that's why the Apostle Paul says, that the gifts of God are to be stirred up. We can't be a church that becomes lackadaisical. We cannot be a church that becomes ease in Zion. We cannot be a church that we just sit around and come in and we go out the door and do the same thing over and over and over again. God has called us to do a work. The pastor is not the Lone Ranger. The pastor doesn't do everything. Jesus Christ did not design the church for the pastor to do everything. He designed the church as the body of Christ, and everyone in the body has a gift, and the gift is to be stirred up so that we can do the work that God has called us. When we work together as a team, there is not number one in a team. A team comes together where there's two or three gathered in my name. There I am in the midst. God will be with us, but we are to continue to fight and contend with the faith and know that God is with us every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. God clearly lets us know that the gifts have to be stirred. Paul urges Timothy to fan into the flames the gift that has been given by God. It was essential that Timothy obey because countless numbers of others needed to be touched by his ministry. It's not time for you to throw in the towel. It's not time for you to die. It's not time for you to quit. God will make it quit when it's quitting time. But until then, we're to continue to contend for the faith and continue to fight the good fight of faith day in and day out. Hallelujah. The Bible lets us know that when a Christian is transformed by Christ, he is empowered by the Holy Spirit. The fire of passion ignites. Paul didn't want Timothy to become discouraged, for he believed in this young man. So did God. Now it was time for Timothy to reach down to others and make the message of the gospel to come alive. Listen, it's not just about you feeding your soul. It's not about you just being satisfied. It's not just about you and what you receive, but it's about reaching down to others and showing the love of God and showing them that Jesus Christ is the answer and He's the God that you need in your life today. Action step four is this: reach out to the world. As you reach down to others, reach out to the world. 2 Timothy 1:8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God. You see, Paul had been thrown in prison numerous times. And he says, and while I am in prison, suffer with me for the gospel. I just saw today on the news that 70 Christians got their heads chopped off in Africa and Congo. I want you to know today how serious things are around the world. People are dying for the cause of Christ. They are contending for the faith. And yet you may say, well, Pastor, they're not cutting nobody's heads off in America. No, they're not doing it now. I can't say what the future might hold, but how strong is your faith? What is your faith? Does your faith lie within yourself, or is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I've said it and will say it again. What if somebody came into a church and held a gun to your head and said, if you'll deny Christ, I'll let you live. But if you say that you're serving Christ, I will kill you. And that's where the rubber meets the pavement in our lives. Are we willing to take a bullet? Are we willing to die for the cause of Christ? Others had died for the cause of Christ. Paul had lost his life. Others have lost their life. Peter was crucified upside down. Isaiah was cut in half. How many will stand the test of times and say, I'm not backing down? How strong is your faith? How strong is your walk with God? Should anything come your way that puts you in a position to deny your Lord and Savior, or will you embrace the cross and say, the cross is where I will go, the cross is where I'll stand, and the cross is where I will die? You see, when God strikes the match, it's left up to us whether we're going to let the flames continue to burn. When God strikes the match, it's a decision whether we're going to blow it out or we're going to let it live and let it continue to light. Listen, Timothy reached down to others to make the message of the gospel come alive. Paul says, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has not been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and mortality to life through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, listen to what he says. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. In other words, until the day that I give my last breath, I am not ashamed, that I am not looking to the left nor to the right, that I am persuaded that I am committed to him because I know who my God is. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. His purpose and passion were to reach the lost and to inspire Timothy to do the same. Are we inspiring our young people? Are we inspiring others to serve the Lord? Are we inspiring people to come to know Jesus? Passion knows no boundaries when God is leading us. Let me say it again. Passion knows no boundaries when God is leading us. And remember, it's not about you. It's not what you do, but it's what Christ does in you, through you, and out of you, and what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are appointed, and we are to be teachers and sharers of the gospel. We are to commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we live to ourselves, we will die to ourselves. But if we will lose our life, we will win the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read something to you from an unknown author. The title of this is My Commitment as a Christian. My Commitment as a Christian. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back. I won't let up. I won't slow down. I won't back away or be still. My past is redeemed. My presence makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, and cheap living and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence or prosperity, position, promotion, plights, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, or regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My complaints are few. My guide is reliable. My missions, dear, I cannot be bought. I cannot be compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't shut up. I won't let up until I have stayed up, stared up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all I know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me because my banner will be clear. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. We've got to be sold out before the Lord Jesus Christ, because until that day when He calls us home, that's when it is finished, it is done, it is complete, and God will be prepared for you and I on that day. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I hope today that you will realize how much that Jesus Christ died for you and died for me. That this is not the end. This life is not the end. When you leave this life, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Your life just begins. It's not the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My mother, my father, and my sister that I just lost a few months ago, they have made it. They are on the other side. But it's not for me to give up. It's not for me to stop. It's not for me to say, oh God, what's going on? It's for me to live the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for me to be faithful in everything, because one day I want heaven to be my home. I don't want hell to be my home, but I want heaven, and I want to be assured that I will be there on the other side, because you've got others that are waiting on the other side. You've got those that are standing at the gates waiting for you and I. Waiting for you and I to cross over on the other side. Listen, let me share with you today. Don't miss heaven for the world. Let me say it again. Don't miss heaven for the world. There is nothing down here is worth missing on a place called heaven. Nothing. I don't care what you have, what you own, what you desire, whatever you get, that's fine and dandy, but don't miss out on salvation. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Make Him first and foremost in your life, because none of this amounts to a hill of beans. None of this. What counts is that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't let the devil sell you a bill of goods and think that everything is okay, because it is not okay. Because God wants us to get right, and He wants us to get ready and get prepared, because He's coming. And He said, I'll come as a thief in the night. You won't know when I come, but I will come as a thief in the night. And if you're prepared and ready to go, you will be able to meet Him in the air. You will be able one day to see your loved ones that have gone before. And thank God. But until, hear me today, I'm closing. But until we are to tarry and wait on the Lord. He says that we will mount up like wings of eagles. You will soar and you will not faint. Be not weary in well doings, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. God sees every one of us and what we're going through in this life. It comes to one and all, we're all getting older. And one day we'll leave this life. If we don't leave by the rapture, we'll leave 6 foot under. But until then, don't take for granted His grace and His mercy on your life every day. Don't take that for granted. He loved you enough that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever would believe upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He sent His one and only that you'll have life. Don't miss out. Don't miss the boat. Stay in the boat. Don't get out of the boat. Stay close to the Lord until He calls you home. And then when He calls you home, when you've been serving Him, thy good and faithful servant, you may enter in to my presence. That's what I want to hear Him say. Listen, we all go through a lot of different things in life. Every one of us at different things right now, health-wise. It comes to one and all, though. But you know what? Let me say this, and I'm going to close. You've heard me say this. You say, Pastor, you say a lot of things over a lot, don't you? Yeah. I want you to get it. I want you to get it. I really do. It doesn't matter what you're going through today. Because it does not, and hear me today, it does not change your relationship with the Lord. You may not have the mind that you once had. You might not have the body that you once had. You might not have a lot of things that you once had because we're all getting older. The Bible says to number our days. To number our days. But here's the thing I want to encourage you with today. It does not change your relationship with the Lord. You might get moody. You might get a little ornery. You might get dealing with a little issue that you're not familiar with. But it does not change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I promise you, He's going to take you through what you're going through. And He is not going to leave you nor forsake you. But He said, I'll be there closer than a brother and a sister to you. He will be with you until the very end, until you give your last breath. He's going to be there with you. God was with my sister when I was at MUSC. She had to make a decision whether to die. She was there. We sung gospel songs together. And I prayed with her. And I knew it was at the end of her life. But she looked at me, and she looked at us in the room, and she said, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And I knew when she had been praying to the Lord those days that she was in intensive care, she was getting prepared to leave this life. But she was making sure that she had everything well with her soul. And she said, it is well with my soul. And it wasn't long. She slipped right on out into eternity. Folks, that's the most important thing, is making it well with your soul. Some people don't have that chance. You can die in a car accident. You can have an instant heart attack. You can die with a stroke. See, some don't have that opportunity. But while you have that opportunity, you can still talk to the Lord. You can still talk to Him in your mind. You can still talk to Him
and let Him know how much you love Him. Because He's the one that brought you into the world, and He's the one that's going to take you out of this world. That's something man can't do. That's something man cannot do. Stand with me across the building today. Listen, I want to encourage you today.